Is it working?
Yes.
Yes. It's working. Yeah. Glad to be back. Thank you very much, Ralph and Ahava Yeshua congregation family, for inviting us back. I'm not a Jew. Neither my wife is Jewish. But we have heart for the Jewish people. And that's why we are here. We love them. And especially the Ethiopian Jews, we wanted them to be in their homeland in Israel and prosper, and above all, come to know Yeshua. That's our desire, and that's our ministry's desire. Now I have two things here. The first, we have a small video about the Ethiopian Jews. It shows a historical background about them. It's about 5 minutes.
They were kings.
We're going to see
a
that.
A half million
and then,
strong.
About 3 or 4 months ago, I was in Israel and in Ethiopia. Like Ralph said, we are under Tikkun emissaries. And with that, they have... well, before I even go through, let's see the video. If it's
once they were kings, a half million strong, they matched their faith with fervor and outmatched the Muslim and Christian tribesmen around them to rule the mountain highlands around Lake Tana. They called themselves Beta Israel, the House of Israel, and used the Torah to guide their prayers and memories of the heights of Jerusalem as they lived in their thatched huts in Ethiopia. But their neighbors called them Falashas, the alien ones, the invaders. And even 300 years of rule, even the black features that matched those of all the people around them, did not make the Jews of Ethiopia secure governors of their destiny in Africa. Baltimore Jewish Times, November 9th. 1979. Ethiopian Jews are the descendants of Abraham. Various rabbis have declared them to be true children of Israel, but they, like so many others in Jewish history, have faced painful persecution. In 1624, the Ethiopian Jews fought and lost a major battle against other Ethiopians and lost their independence to live freely. Those who were captured alive were forced into slavery, forced to be baptized into a form of Christianity, and had no land ownership rights. The population numbers dramatically decreased from half a million to well below 100,000 by the 19th century. Then the Marxist government of the 1970s and 80s also disturbed the Jews in the northern part of the country. Mengistu's government relocated these peasant farmers onto cooperative state-run farms, forcing them to share land they could not own with non-Jewish neighbors. This incited anti-Semitism in the Gondar province. In the early 80s, Judaism and teaching Hebrew were outlawed, and many Ethiopian Jews were jailed on made-up charges of being Zionist spies, while their religious leaders were watched very closely. And then there were the famines of the mid-80s. Up to this point, the difficulties for these people were in their native country of Ethiopia, and they held tightly to the hope of one day living in the Promised Land. Operations Moses, Joshua, and Solomon moved a majority of them to the Promised Land, but the problems did not disappear. Families have been separated. Many have been left in Ethiopia, stuck in red tape and away from their farmland. They are told to wait in the camps in the cities until their approval process is finalized. So they wait, and they wait, and they wait. The funding for the camps has diminished, and they themselves have no assets from which to trek back to the farmlands. They're struggling for survival while they wait to be approved by the Israeli government. The government is reluctant to approve them for a few reasons. One, because they have been Christianized by the Coptic Orthodox Church, and it is assumed that they're pretending to be Jewish in order to find a new life in Israel. Another major reason is the funding and personnel needed to assimilate the Jews that have already been airlifted, let alone adding new immigrants. Those who were taken to Israel have struggled to survive because they have difficulty transitioning from an agricultural mindset to modern-day cities. difficulty learning the Hebrew language, and difficulty getting good jobs that will move them out of the low-class neighborhoods they occupy. The youngest generation that has been born and raised in Israel is making progress, but they have stereotypes to overcome. The goal of Beta Israel Ethiopian Ministries is to partner with individuals and organizations to build up the morale, occupational skills, and cultural linguistic understanding of this people in order for them to thrive in Israel. Integral to this goal is revealing faith in Messiah Yeshua in authentic Jewish practice.
And that's my family, and those are some of the Ethiopian Jews, both in Israel and in Ethiopia. And Beta Israel Ethiopian Ministry is committed to helping these people, God willing, and some of the aspects. So, with that, Dan Juster has a Bible Institute both in Tel Aviv, Israel, and in Ethiopia in three places. One is in Gondar, Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, and Wolliso, Ethiopia. So last year, my rabbi, Jack Jacobs, some of you may know him, encouraged me to translate Dan Juster's book called Growing to Maturity. How many of you guys have read that book? And now that's the book I spent a year translating, and this is the Amharic version of Growing to Maturity, and it says, Wode Amsaru Madek, meaning growing to maturity. So I translated this book last year, and then at the same time I was asked if I would go to Israel and Ethiopia and teach in MJBI, or Messianic Bible Institute, in Tel Aviv and in Ethiopia and in Gondar and Wolliso. So about 3 or 4 months in March, I went to Tel Aviv, Israel, and taught in their Bible Institute. In fact, I taught this book in Amharic, and they were so excited seeing for the first time and using their own language to study. So we printed some of this. I took with me. I distributed it to them. And then I went to Ethiopia. Now, the pictures, we're going to see picture that shows with it is coming. I think it shows what I did in Israel. Let's see if they can get this. All right, this is March when I went there. Next picture, if you get. Next one. Okay, that's where the school is. There are many Ethiopian Jews who went there early, and they're very much settled. They're married, they have family, and they're taking courses. If you go to next picture. My picture, is it any way to click on that? Down. Keep going down. Down. Yeah. Okay, this is me teaching in Tel Aviv in their school. And the next picture, can we just go down? Right there. So these are some of the people. They're more mature and adults, many of them married. And they have lived in Israel for many years, so they are very much settled. There were about 40 students we studied in this school, but because of life's difficulty and difficult situations, there were only 8 who were graduated. So when I got there, there were only 11 left, and then the 3 of those didn't complete. You can't keep going. And so it was a very nice group, a lovely group, who were serious about what they were studying, as you can see. And finally, these are the people who graduated. So this is the final picture after I finished, before I left to Ethiopia. So I mean, this group are really on fire for the Lord. They wanted to reach out to Ethiopians who live in Israel, those Ethiopian Jews, and those who are coming. But life is not easy in Israel for Ethiopians. There are a lot of issues. I mean, obviously, from the third world coming to the first world, Israel, they don't know language, they don't know culture, everything is so different. Most of whom are, especially those who come from Gondar area in Ethiopia, they are not educated. So it's very difficult to adjust into that society. There are a lot of things to be done. But these guys are educated. In fact, the guy who was sitting next to me is a lawyer. He's studying to be a lawyer. So they're doing very well. These are very few. But at the same time, there are a lot of who are going through a lot of difficulties. Next. Okay, this is in Gondar. Keep going. This is in Gondar. Gondar is different. Those who live in Gondar are not educated. They're illiterate, Gondar area. The Coptic Orthodox in Gondar really has very heavy weight among people. It's not only that, it's mixed with tradition. There is a spiritual darkness in there. So if you see these are more women, keep going, young people. Just life seems very difficult for them. So a lot of, when I went there, I was supposed to be teaching, but we spent praying and casting out demons because of the situation that was in there. Keep going. And then finally I decided to buy some of this stuff for them, like soap, all that. Keep going. And we distributed those for them because we felt that they needed this. And then this is the final picture before I left. These are the students, really young people and more of women in there. Next, now going south to Ethiopia. These are Jews who live in the southern part of Ethiopia, a place called Wolliso. They're called the Gafat people, and they're Jews. So these are more educated, keep going, and very young people. They were about 120 that attended in class. These are the final picture that we got. I got with them. Here the situation with them is they make clays with hand. That's how they live. They live on farms. Some of them make clays. But these guys are really very much educated. They're on fire for the Lord, and it was exciting to be with them. And after I came back, before I came back, I promised to send this book for them for their graduations. So we came back, I came back, and we printed about 160 of this book, and we sent them for their graduation, and they were able to receive this. So it was really very nice to see this. Next. And being able to keep going. This is Kachanina. This is what they do for a living. Clays. I think we have some in the back. You can see for yourself. And this is how they do it, just by hand. So, and the area they live in, Addis, is very much poor area. Obviously, this is my mom and my sister and my uncle who raised me. My dad died when I was about 2 years old. So my mother's brother, he raised me. So while I was there, I had an opportunity of being with them and took this picture. Next. Anything else? Okay. Do you see any difference between these two pictures?
Yeah.
It's an amazing picture, right? When you see two. About 3 years ago, I went to Gondar with Jonathan Burney's ministry. He brings in doctors, dentists, and nurses, and then he also brings counselors, those who evangelize. So I went there as one of the counselors. So after they get there, all the staff, they induct us. So this lady is one of those who came to my table, and I had my translator with me, even though I spoke in Amharic. So we asked her, and she was brought from village by the Israeli government to process to go to Israel. Yet her husband was Ethiopian, who was not Jewish. So he just left her and disappeared. So she was living on the street to raise their kids, like a prostitute. So she came there, and I prayed for her, and something this touched my heart. So I just asked if she had a cell phone. Regardless of what, they all have cell phones these days. Wherever you go, it's amazing. So she came, gave me her cell phone, and then I came back. I spoke to our congregation, and then I just said if there were anyone who was interested in helping. So a couple of people from our church started helping, and then she became a believer now, and they started sending money. Now she's in Messianic congregation in Gondar, and she serves the Lord. So second time when I went, she was so happy, her kids were so happy, and I was happy. You know? I'm sure God is happy, but also. So it's just a blessing to see, someone getting help through someone and serving the Lord and being the vessel for the Lord. So the guy who's in charge of the ministry that she attends just says that she's just hungry for the Lord. She goes out and invites people. So that's that, and it was wonderful. I think this is the last picture. Yes. All right, so before I sit down, I wanted to share with you from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. And this is what it says. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Messiah Yeshua. I thank my God every time I remember you in all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Rav Shaul is writing this letter to believers in Philippi, and at this time he is in prison because of preaching the gospel. The reason he is writing this letter is to thank them for the gift they sent him after hearing that he was put in prison, and also to encourage them for their commitment to the faith and showing good works. He stresses in his letter and in other letters that the grace of God is the foundation to any good that we can do, and to pursue works of righteousness and not become complacent in our faith. The good of grace, of God's grace, leads to good works. Good works are a blessing to others. Good works bring us satisfaction in the process. We get satisfied when you do something for someone. The glory goes to God, but the satisfaction comes to you. That's what happens. The good works is of God's beginning. God had begun a good work in you. And this good work comes not from us, but from Yeshua HaMashiach, through his life, death, and resurrection. We get. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." in Messiah Yeshua. Everything is done in Him. He has done everything for us. The good work. We are the workmanship of God. God can't do anything, everything without us. He doesn't need us. But He chooses to work with us and through us. He chooses. He doesn't need us. He does not need anybody. When He created the heavens and the earth, He didn't need anyone. He created by Himself. God in His new generation has designed and prepared us for good works. That's what we are. Why? So we could be fruitful to His kingdom, but not to boast about it for ourselves. Our good works should glorify God the Father, not us. It doesn't come to us. We are created in Yeshua for good works. That's what Yeshua did. We should not begin this work ourselves, for we are by nature without good works. We know ourselves. I know where I come from. I know who I was. I don't have any good work. You don't have any good work. It's all about Yeshua. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." We were one of those people when we lived in that world, in that place. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. Sin is a death of the soul. We were cut off from God, who is the fountain of life. We were fulfilling the desires of our flesh. We were doing whatever we wanted, whatever pleased our flesh. That was what we were doing. We were slaves to our carnal mind that made us slaves to our cravings, our appetites. We were living in a sad world, very sad. But now we are forgiven and have life with the Messiah. Amen? We are forgiven. We have life. We have a future. We have a purpose. We have a goal. That's who we are. Because of Yeshua and what He has done for us. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Messiah. He forgave us all our sins. Therefore, Messiah's death is our life. He died, we lived. He took our sins and put Himself in our place. So we are alive today. Not only today, forever we are. So it is God Himself who brought us back to life when we were dead. It was His grace. Out of this same grace, He uses us to bring life to others by preparing work in advance for us to do in His name." That's what He does in us. And therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Messiah may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Messiah." The gifts of Messiah are intended for the good of His people, to serve His people. They are to advance his kingdom and interest among all peoples, Jews and Gentiles. That's what Yeshua came for. They are to discharge the several parts of their ministry functions. They are for the edification of the body of Messiah, the saints, that's us, you and me. They are designed to prepare God's people for heaven, where there is fullness in Messiah. One of the brothers here was talking about that we may not know everything here. He was saying that. Yes, we may not know everything here, but once we get there, we'll know everything. That's the presence of God Almighty. So we will know everything when we are with Him. I tell you, I can't wait to get there, you know? I can't wait to get there. That's our destiny. It's your destiny. It's all those who are in Yeshua, their destiny. The work of grace has begun in this life. It will not be finished as long as we are in this imperfect state. The work of grace will be finished on the day of Yeshua, the day when He comes back. And Rav Shaul writes to the saints of Philippi by saying, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah, Yeshua. Isn't that exciting? He is confident of the saints in Philippi that they are doing a good job and they're going to continue doing until Yeshua comes back or they go back to Him. That is our desire and our commitment. We keep going, we keep doing His work, no matter what the situation, the circumstances is. Is it until we die or He comes back? That's the confidence we all have, that we belong to Him. We are brought by the blood of Yeshua, and we're going to continue doing His job as long as we are in this body. Rav Shaul continues by saying, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depths of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Messiah, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Messiah Yeshua to the glory and praise of God. That's how He's encouraging people. The work of God has prepared in advance for our family, related to the Ethiopian Jews, and to our congregation in Rockland County in New York. Be diligent about obeying God and completing the work He has prepared for each of you. It is very easy in this society to be distracted by all of the demands of school, work, or even entertainment. We're just talking about watching the boxing. You know, it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it distracts us. It's easy to be distracted, you know? Each of us must be committed to paying attention to God's plans for us and then carry them out. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Anyone who knows the good, he has to do it. He must do it. If he doesn't do it, it is a sin. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 through 10 says this: the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Therefore, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, each of us. That's what we studied today from Torah. Doing good. Seeing who is weak among us. Checking their state of being. That's what Torah calls us to do. Seek the pleasure of God by responding to His grace. Cultivate and apply the gifts that He has given each of you by His Spirit. Do not be afraid to use them, because God has ordained in advance for you to carry them out for the good of those here and in the body of Messiah worldwide. So trust in Him. We are partners together in the gospel, and that is a joyful thing. Let us pray. We thank You, Lord, for so much. For You have been good to us. We thank You for Your Son, Yeshua, who has given us life, future, and hope. I thank You for this congregation, Lord, for their love, for their commitment. Continue working through us and with us, Lord. We love You so much because You loved us first. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.